Welcome back into the Badger Extra podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by our columnist, Jim Paulzine. We're going through our week 10 picks here in the Big Ten. Jim, we're into November. This is where really the season gets decided in the Big Ten. You get to this stretch, you get all Big Ten games. Everybody's playing 4 weeks straight. It's usually a little bit more high drama than this, I guess. I mean, I don't know. On the one hand, there's usually the East is kind of how it always is, where it's the three Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State all kind of still alive. And then the West is kind of all up in the air. So I guess there's high drama, but maybe it's the fact that the West is all not very good right now.
Hey, there's a ton of drama in this league. It's just off the football field.
Yeah, I mean, right.
There are some awesome stories. Both in Iowa and this whole Michigan mess just gets more and more crazy. It sounds like the Big Ten coaches met with the commissioner yesterday, or had a Zoom with the commissioner yesterday, and are basically saying, like, do something.
Yeah.
And the ADs.
Our ADs are meeting with them today.
On Thursday, yeah.
Thursday as we record this, yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting times, but you're right. It's kind of a weird product on the field.
Somehow, Mel Tucker's dismissal at Michigan State is not the biggest controversy in the state of Michigan regarding football coaches right now.
He's got to be so happy by this.
He's just to be able to get the spotlight and the attention away for a little bit. But we're going to run through these picks and talk about each game as we go through them. And some of the off-field stuff, as Jim mentioned, has kind of become the narrative of this season. That the off-field's a little bit more interesting. So we'll cover some of those topics as well as we go through it. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. All right, Jim, we're going to start the week with an 11 o'clock game. Ohio State is going to Rutgers. Ohio State coming off that win at Camp Randall last week, 24-10 over the Badgers. Rutgers, what did they do last week? They were off last week. So Ohio State is a 18.5-point favorite against the Scarlet Knights on the road. We're on opposite sides here, Jim. I'm on Ohio State, and you are on Rutgers. And my reasoning for the Ohio State pick here, Kyle McCord probably played his worst game as a college starter last week against the Badgers. Multiple turnovers for the first time in his career. Multiple interceptions, I should say. And just generally wasn't all that good. Just they relied on the fact they had Marvin Harrison. They had Travion Henderson. And I think that's why I'm picking them to cover a big spread here. Rutgers can't pass the ball. Rutgers is just not a very good passing offense. And I just think this Ohio State defense is too good. I don't think this is going to be like a massive blowout, but 28-7-ish, right around there, will be enough to cover this spread. So I'll take that range. And, you know, with Travion Henderson back, the Ohio State run game has its explosion and has its home run hitter. And I think that's kind of the defining thing, where even if McCord's not the guy, which I don't think he really is, you can still grind out, you know, 200 yards on the ground with a guy like Henderson.
Yeah, this is a play for me. So I'm taking Rutgers, and I like Rutgers' defense just to kind of keep things close. I was really impressed in person by that Rutgers defense, and not impressed in person by Kyle McCord. So I think 18.5 is just a little bit too rich for me. I think they win comfortably. I don't think it's a scare in any way, but 14-17 seems more realistic for me. And I think Rutgers, you know, that's a we know that's a tough place to play, not because there's an atmosphere, because there's no atmosphere sometimes. And although it'll probably be all, you know, all Ohio State fans, so maybe it'll be a pseudo home game, but I'm still gonna stick with Rutgers.
Yeah, I think Ohio State getting the number one ranking in the CFP, like they know Georgia's right on their heels, they know Michigan's right there as well. I don't think they're in the, oh, we need some style points to keep this. Like I think their resume is going to continue to speak for itself, but I do think they look at the rest of their November slate here as, let's get tuned up for Michigan, and then against a Rutgers team that's kind of struggling to score, I got to think that they're looking to put up a decent number. So that's kind of my thought process.
That's fair.
Let's jump over to Nebraska going to Michigan State. Nebraska is a 3-point favorite on the road. This is when we were running through the lines before we started this podcast. Jim made me repeat it 3 times, so he could not believe this one. Nebraska 3-point favorite on the road at Michigan State. and I'm taking them. Nebraska has killed me this year, Jim. Killed me. I was out on them early, and I was right a couple of times, but the last few weeks when I thought all these injuries on offense were going to catch up with them, it just doesn't seem to matter. I think their quarterback's getting a little bit more confidence. This defense is legit. They're one of the best defenses in the Big Ten. When you look at yards allowed and points and things like that, like, they've had a couple of slip-up games, and obviously Michigan dominated them, but you exclude that and look at Nebraska against the teams are on the same tier as, their defense is just dominant. So I think this is going to be another ugly one, but, you know, winning by a touchdown against a Michigan State team that's really got not a whole lot to play for. I mean, you look at that, they lost at Minnesota last week and just got grounded, just running into the ground by a sixth string running back from Minnesota. I think Nebraska's going to be able to put together enough on offense and let that defense kind of work and win by a touchdown here.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, listen, I certainly, everything you say about Michigan State is fair, and I think I've been burned by that team a little bit this year. I just don't think Nebraska should be favored over anyone on the road, almost anyone. And it's like, that's why I kind of question that. This seems like more of a pick 'em to me. You're probably right. Like, I feel like as I'm trying to defend my Michigan State pick here that I'm probably wrong, but I'm basing this on the fact that, you know, Nebraska's played three times on the road this year. They've scored 10, 14, and 20 points.
Not encouraging,
but also this will be the worst. Illinois, they won 27 at Illinois. I think Illinois and Michigan State are kind of in the same breath. But I think they're going to have trouble scoring. No, I also think that Michigan State's going to have trouble scoring. So the play here is probably the under. But I don't know. I don't trust Nebraska yet. I guess that's what this pick is. It's just not trusting Nebraska, and I don't think they can cover three on the road.
You're not probably wrong to not trust Nebraska. I just think that they're finally, their sideline's pretty stable. Yeah. I think Matt Rhule is doing as good of a job as you can, given all the injuries. We kind of covered that last week. But here's one thing I want to kind of throw at you. So Nebraska's 5-3 right now going into this week. They're tied with three other teams atop the Big Ten West, including Wisconsin. The rest of their November schedule is this: home against Maryland, at Wisconsin, home against Iowa on Black Friday. All very losable games, those last three. This Michigan State game is the game that could guarantee a bowl for the first time in, what, eight years? Something like that, because it was the entire Frost era that didn't play any bowls. So I think this is we have to get this win. This is, everything's on the table. Get that bowl win. Get the momentum of having a winning season, or at least a not losing season. So I think this is kind of Rhule's kitchen sink, have to get a bowl game, have to get six wins right now situation.
That's fair. Can I go the other way on you? Because, and this is going to sound crazy from someone who's not picking Nebraska to cover a 3-point spread on the road today. You look at that schedule. Yeah, there's all losable games. They're all winnable too, though.
Oh yeah, true.
I mean, is there a scenario where they could win out and win the Big Ten West?
Yeah, I think they need some help because they've lost.
No matter what? Okay. Well, we're counting on – here's the thing. We're counting on – I don't know that there is, because listen to this. We're counting on Minnesota losing to Ohio State, right? Gets them to three losses. Two of Nebraska's final games are at Wisconsin and home against Iowa, which will give them a tie break. I actually think Nebraska, if it wins out, would probably be the Big Ten West champion. Now, getting there requires some – I mean, that's asking a lot of a team that is in the first year under a new coach. But if they win at Michigan State, which you think they're going to do, Maryland's been trending downward. That's not a crazy for Nebraska to win that game at home. We don't know what kind of shape Wisconsin's going to be from a health standpoint on November 18th, right?
Yep.
So that's a toss-up to me at this point. And then Iowa at home is looking more and more like a game that Nebraska will be favored in. So I think I'm kind of talking myself into the possibility that
Big Ten. You made that point better than I did.
I don't know. Like, all these teams are so flawed in the Big Ten West that expecting a perfect November seems like too much to ask. And I could say that about Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, everybody. But I don't know. I look at that schedule and a team that's won three games and has some momentum. I don't know how they score enough to win all four of those games. But, man, it's – the Big Ten West is weird, and this, that would be a crazy, amazing story if he comes in here and has this team in contention for a division title in his first season.
Yeah, it really would. So are you sticking with your Michigan State pick?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm
all right.
I'm not going to go get. I'm really not going to go against it because I think my initial reaction is this Nebraska team isn't quite good enough yet to be favored on the road against anybody in the Big Ten. So I'm going to stick with it, but I all might right. change my tune if they win that game.
Fair, very fair. All right, let's jump to Penn State at Maryland. You mentioned Maryland on the downward trend here. Three losses in a row, and they are to Northwestern. Illinois, and then Ohio State. So that one's at least acceptable. But Illinois and then Northwestern, those losses. And then we called it last week. Both of us, that was my only win last week. Northwestern catching 14 at home. That was just the twilight zone of Ryan Field. It worked to perfection. Both teams looked like crap for a lot of the games outside of Northwestern, having some early on points. And to me, this is a situation where Penn State is coming off a game where they also looked like crap against Indiana.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think they were 10th or 11th in the first CFP poll. They've got to just – they're in a style point situation because they're going to need to – if they have any chance, they got to obviously beat Michigan next week. And they've got to win out, but they've got to get themselves in a position, ideally for them, be 11-1 with some massive wins late in the season here and, you know, try to put a resume together that looks like, okay, maybe they could sneak in if some chaos happens ahead of them. So I think this is where they have to kind of just do whatever they can to put some points on the board. I hate laying points on the road with Drew Aller. Aller just doesn't seem capable of leading a high-scoring offense right now or putting the ball in his hands and really trusting it. But I still just think combo of what Penn State needs and how Maryland's trending, I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, I am too. I don't feel great about it. I think I'm counting on last week being a hangover, the coming off the Ohio State game. It's just kind of how I feel about that team. I think they're much better than Maryland. I think they can just dominate them physically. I don't like the direction Maryland's headed in. So I think they go there and win by 10. I think it's probably one of those where we're going to be biting our fingernails on Saturday, but eight and a half, I think is something they can cover. Going to Maryland, we projected Nebraska's November. Are we certain that we haven't seen Maryland's last win of the season? Because Penn State at home this weekend at Nebraska, which, as I said, I'm kind of giving Nebraska a win in that. Home against Michigan and then at Rutgers. There's no guaranteed win for Maryland there. So you could have a team that started off 5-0 and loses its last seven.
Yeah, it's possible. And, it basically makes those Nebraska and Rutgers games the have to wins to get your bowl game. But, yeah, the Big Ten outside of the top three, there is very little separation week to week, in my opinion. I think you take those top three, set them aside. The rest of the, that'd be 11. It's just a crapshoot week to week who's going to pull these games out. And again, I hate laying this number with Penn State, but I just can't see Maryland getting up for a game after what we've seen the last few weeks. Just sloppy play, slow starts, all these things that just, when you're placing a superior team, just bad formula, in my opinion.
Right.
All right, Illinois is going to Minnesota. Minnesota is a 1.5-point favorite at home. This was another very surprising line. Jim, I'll let you go first here. You got the Gophers taking care of business at home and continuing the inside track that they have right now, at least, for the Big Ten title.
I think I made some comment like I'd bet my mortgage on this when
you did.
Just kind of setting this up. Yeah, I wouldn't really do that because it's Minnesota and I still don't trust Minnesota. But, man, so like if you take getting points for being at home into account, that's Vegas's way of saying they think Illinois is a better team than Minnesota right now. Like that, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't understand this line entirely. I'm slapping the label on it. Rat line of the week.
Okay.
Why is this? Because you're right. And I get it. Minnesota's beat up. They're on, like I mentioned earlier, fifth or sixth running back. Tyler Newman's little brother ended up having to take all these carries, got 200 yards. I say all this to say, I really liked what I saw out of Illinois in that Wisconsin game until the fourth quarter. the first three quarters, Illinois did exactly what they had to do to win that game, and then they fell apart just because I don't think they're all that talented. Coming off a bye week, I know they're not going to have Jerzon Newton for the first half. That's, I think, a big factor. I think that's when Minnesota's got to make its hay. They've got to get a lead going into halftime. Fleck has a ridiculous record. I don't know what it is offhand, but he's got a ridiculous record when he leaves the half. But knowing that, they've got to get a lead early. If they don't, I think Illinois is able to win this one. So I'm going to take the risk here. I'm going to take the point and a half. I think Illinois gets it done and plays. I think that's what Bielema was going to have to go on the rest of the year, kind of playing spoiler and messing team season up, taking on the Illini.
Yeah, I'm taking Minnesota too. I mean, the fact that Brett Bielema is still talking about that Wisconsin game and the Hayden Rucci jersey switch, I don't know. Like
Nolan Rucci, but yeah, I wanted to get
Nolan Rucci. Sorry. Yeah, I mean that I don't know. I don't get why he's still talking about it, even if he's right about it. Like I just don't get why you'd publicly put that out there.
Yeah, to give a quick synopsis, if you guys haven't been following, if you don't follow Brett on Twitter or anything,
or if you're blocked,
right? He's been talking about Wisconsin may have bent some rules, in that Nolan Rucci warmed up in his normal jersey number of 66, and then in between warmups and before the game, changed his number to 93. The reason that he's wearing 93 was that number becomes eligible automatically as long as you're the end man and you're not covered, and that's obviously what he was on that game-winning touchdown against Illinois. But yeah, I understand that he had a bye week and he didn't maybe have the media interview during that week to be asked about it and talk about it. But sure, I'm totally with you that just complaining about it for a few minutes at your Monday press conference 2 weeks later makes you look like a loser. And then on Wednesday, retweeting an internet media account that did like a 25-minute deep dive on this jersey switch. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a perfect rules expert, but if that's a rule, all right, maybe Wisconsin got away with one, kind of slipped one by, but it happened. It happened 2 weeks ago. So I don't love that going into this one, but I think this line just makes no sense to me. And clearly Vegas thinks Illinois is better than we are looking at it on paper, so I'm just going to take it. All right.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Iowa is going to Northwestern. They're going to be playing at Wrigley Field this week. Hopefully the lines on the field are painted correctly and the field is spaced out correctly that they can play on both sides of the field. But Iowa is a 5-point favorite at Northwestern. Another situation where what's on the field is way, way more interesting and entertaining than what's on the field, particularly for this Iowa bunch. Comes out this week. Beth Getz, the interim AD at Iowa, tells Brian Ferentz over the bye week that he will not be back as the offense coordinator. Basically tells Kirk Ferentz to deal with it, and here you go. I watched the entirety of the Kirk Ferentz press conference the other day. You can tell he's very angry about the timing and basically making this another distraction on top of what was already a distraction with the Brian Ferentz contract stuff, making it a distraction that he's going to be fired or it's basically not going to be renewed. Also, he's clearly not a fan of that, it being his son and all. But 5 points is just not enough. Iowa's defense is too good. I don't know how Northwestern scores. Iowa's probably going to win this game in some crappy, like 12-3 punt and field goal fest. I think they win this game by a touchdown-ish, and it's going to be the dumbest combination of plays and scoring plays to come up with a cover. But Iowa just continues to grind these games out and figure it out. So I think that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I'm counting on Northwestern muddying it up and forcing some Deacon Hill turnovers that turn into points somehow, and it ended up like I think I was going to win this game, but like 9-6, 10-6, 8-4, something like that. I mean, it is
the lowest over under number in the history of college football since they've been officially tracking it. It's 29.5.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. 29.5.
So they're expecting less than four touchdowns at maximum between teams.
I mean, honestly, I don't put money in games, but I would absolutely probably take the under here, right?
Oh yeah, you can't.
All those scores I listed didn't even come close.
Or,
yeah, all the scores I listed didn't come close to 29.5. So, I'm taking Northwestern at home. They were good to me last week. I'm sticking with them. I don't know what the chaos at Iowa is going to cause. Maybe it goes the other way, and these guys just you know, buckle up their chin straps and play hard for their head coach and their offensive coordinator. I don't know, but it's such a weird distraction at a time where you're basically the favorite to win a division. That I don't know. I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, there are definitely some behind the scenes politics there both ways. I mean, let's be real here. Brian Ferentz, any other school with any other head coach wouldn't have come back for this season after his performances as the OC. So, I mean, that was some politics by right there to even him have a job. But then there's clearly some power dynamics on display here with the interim AD taking that job away after the season. So we'll see how that all plays out. I just think they're going to do something that annoys me, like some punt return that they don't do a illegal fair catch signal or a kickoff return, block punt. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a block punt this week that they score a touchdown on. That's how they cover.
Yeah.
All right, Purdue is going to Michigan. We won't spend too much time on this one. Purdue stinks, and Michigan's very, very good. Michigan's got the whole world hating on them, whole conference. I think I was right on it last week that you don't want, or 2 weeks ago, that you don't want to have a us against the world Michigan on the books if you're playing against them, and Purdue's got that this week. I think this just becomes a very Maryland or Minnesota-Michigan-esque game where it's just a beat down from the start. I'll lay the 32.5 of Michigan at home.
Yeah, me too. It gave me pause. That's a high number, but I think the fact that people are still angry about this, I think it's just going to make Michigan more angry and defensive and wanting to prove a point. And I don't think there's going to be any let up from this team.
I'm with you. All right, let's just jump to Wisconsin here. Wisconsin is an 8.5-point favorite against Indiana, despite the fact they're unlikely to have Braylon Allen, the junior tailback, available for this game, and they're on their backup quarterback. They don't have their number two running back. They don't have one of their top receivers, more than likely, in Chimere DK. Hasn't been officially ruled out yet, but didn't sound all too optimistic from Luke Fickell on Monday, like Jake and I covered on the podcast Wednesday. So, I don't know, Jim. Indiana hasn't beat the Power 5 team this year. They're not very good. Anybody that just wants to go scoreboard watch, you can go look at that game against Penn State last week. They had two long touchdowns that got them going and then kept Penn State on its heels. Both of them were terrible long coverages by the defense, just awful assignment football. Wisconsin hasn't had a ton of that, in my opinion. I think when they let up big plays, it's been a lot of, like, just missed tackles and stuff that you kind of – it's not a scheme issue. I mean, some of the times that they just played man coverage when they shouldn't, that seems to have been fixed. They're not playing nearly as much man. I don't know, lay the 8.5 with Wisconsin. I think that there's kind of that same mentality that I've been talking about, like everything's in front of you. You got to win your games. I think Indiana kind of shot its wad last week in that there's just not a whole lot to play for them. And, you know, there's only so many times you can hit the play for pride, play for Indiana button. Tom Allen's had to smash that a lot in his career. So I just think that Wisconsin's defense has been playing better. I think they keep Indiana in check. And I think Wisconsin finds enough offensively. Maybe it's the receivers catching some balls for once. That would be a big improvement in moving the ball in that fashion. But I think they find a way to cover this.
You kind of took the wind out of my sails, because I was going to say, you know, Indiana, like you mentioned, had the big plays, the big passing plays against Penn State last week. And Wisconsin's been a little bit susceptible to big plays, but you're right. Those aren't scheme issues as much as they are just blown tackles or whatever. To me, it's can Wisconsin score enough to cover an 8.5-point spread? And I just have a hard time getting there with a backup running back or with a backup quarterback and a third string running back. I think it's going to be a grind, and I think they win this game, but I think it's going to be well into the fourth quarter before we know for sure whether they're going to win it. And so I think it's going to be touchdown or less. Is how I view this game playing out. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if Wisconsin loses this game. I mean, I know nobody wants to hear that, but I don't know. I mean, maybe last week was Indiana's last stand. Maybe the only reason they were in that game was because Penn State was, you know, kind of in hangover mode, like I mentioned earlier. But the flip side of that is maybe they found something and maybe they got a little bit of confidence, a young team finding something late in the season, and they can make this their last stand. So that's why the 8.5 points is just too much for me to go.
I'm going to give you two stats here that it's going to support. One's going to support each side of this argument. So to your point, it seems that Brandon Sorsby is the best option they have at quarterback. He's a very mobile guy. It's not like he's Michael Vick out there. He's not trying to run around all that much. But when the options are there and he has the opportunity to run, he takes it. And that has been an Achilles heel of this Badgers defense, breaking down some of their rush lanes and their contain on the outside. So I think that's something that's going to be an issue. So if Indiana, like you said, hangs in and keeps this game close, I think it's because of the quarterback running element. On the other end, Indiana's defense on the defending the run, it's the worst in the Big Ten. It's almost 170 yards a game, even though it's going to be Jackson Aker and Cade Iaccamelli. There's not enough up front for Indiana that, even though I don't think this Wisconsin line's dominant, I think there's enough continuity and enough knowledge of running the ball as a line that they're going to be able to continue to grind out first downs and keep the offense on the field, increase some chances for some bigger plays to happen, even if it might not be from the running backs. So I'm going to stick with my 8.5. I don't feel super confident in it. And if we're in that situation you talked about in the fourth quarter where Indiana's still right there and has a chance to win it, I'm not going to be shocked either.
The one thing I noticed about Jackson Aker, just in kind of, you and I both are writing about him this week, he hasn't lost any yardage on any of his 35 carries. I mean, that's notable, right? I mean, he's a guy that does tend to, you know, finish off runs.
And you go forward, yeah.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And that's good, right? I think you're probably right in that they can be successful doing that tomorrow, Saturday, excuse me. So there's a chance. I can't get out of my mind that this team has moved the ball at times, gotten to the red zone, and had to settle for field goals. And they need to get past that, and they need to get past the mental mistakes and the penalties and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know, the more you take experienced players out of the lineup, the more I think you introduce some of that, the possibilities of the shooting yourself in the foot type errors. And so I don't know, I think, you know me, I'm a guy that needs to kind of see it before I believe it. And mm-hmm. I don't believe it yet.
I think that's probably fair. There hasn't been enough consistency in any of the games against Big Ten teams or even Power Five teams.
Yeah.
That makes me think they're hanging in there with a Wisconsin team with something to play for. So we'll see how it all plays out. I always forget to say these at the top of the show. It's probably because I stunk last week. I was 1-4. Jim was 3-2. I am now 30-34-4 on the year. Jim is 32-32-4 on the year. So two games up. Like Wisconsin's got their winning season streak, I have a winning season streak here on the picks. I got to pick it up in November, Jim.
I am perfectly average, which is basically how anybody in my life describes me.
All right, we can't top that one. So we're going to wrap it up there. Get on BadgerExtra.com. Make sure you're subscribed. We got an 11 a.m. kickoff at Indiana. So Jim and I will be down there. A ton of coverage coming from that. We had a lot of stuff leading up to this game. You mentioned multiple pieces on Jackson Aker and his background, and then obviously a lot of hockey, basketball, volleyball coverage, everything that you can expect from BadgerExtra.com. So check that out. Make sure you're subscribed. Thank you guys very much for listening. We'll be back next week.